All right, this morning, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And again, we continue with our theme of missions throughout the month of May. And we will all day today, Wednesday night, of course, leading up into our missions conference on Sunday. Be in prayer for Brother Morrison and his family. They fly in on Thursday afternoon. Brother McDowell and his wife and their one of their little girls comes in. They come in Thursday as well, and so pray for them as they're preparing, as they are getting ready to travel. All right, and just for the Lord's blessing. Of course, the theme of our missions conference is the Lord of the Harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the Harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. And the first word is pray. Pray ye the Lord of the Harvest. That's what we ought to be as God's people. We ought to be praying and asking the Lord to accomplish His work and His will, and then to be willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me. We're going to continue on that very vein this morning in Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read in verses 1 through 9 of Matthew 28. And the text this morning is about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And so the resurrection of Christ is a major part in preaching the gospel. And without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Without the resurrection, we don't have hope for the soul. And so we're going to consider this morning, but I want to consider the commands of the resurrection this morning. And I want to start in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 9. You follow along. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Lord, I pray that you'd bless again this hour as we open up your word. Father, give us understanding of it and challenge us from it. In Jesus' name, amen. I would say that you would agree with me on this statement I'm about to make, and as saints of God, naturally you would, and prayerfully, it's a true thing, a true sentiment that you would express. But I would say that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is exciting news, something that is exciting to the child of God. The fact that Jesus is alive is actually news that we need to hear over and over again. But it's news that we need to share over and over again. It's news that should cause rejoicing in the heart of a saint of God. We don't have a has-been Jesus. We don't have a Jesus who's still hanging on a cross or who's still in a tomb. We have a Jesus who is alive. Our Savior is alive today. Amen. We're here today. Those of you who know the Lord, you're here today. Because somewhere along the way, you heard the glorious news that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You believed that gospel. God changed your life, and now you're a child of God, and you're here today because of that message. Right. That news and that message, that glorious news that Jesus Christ is alive, it gives us hope today. What is hope? The definition of it. You who are church members, you know this. The definition is confident expectation. As if it's already happened. I am so confident as if it's already happened. That is the hope for my soul. That because Jesus Christ is alive, I have confident expectation that my soul is going to be in the presence of the Lord. The hope of His resurrection should fill our hearts with joy because Jesus Christ is alive, and we should say thank you to the Lord for that today. But we read in this passage here how these women came to the tomb, the sepulcher, to see Jesus. They thought He was still there. They came in other passages, parallel passages, we know that they came with spices to anoint the body of the Lord. Even though Jesus had said to them that He would rise from the grave, they didn't comprehend all of that. They didn't grasp that. They didn't fully believe that. They came with spices to anoint the body of the Lord. And when they got there, they saw that the stone was rolled away. There was an angel of the Lord there who had a message for them. And in verse 6, the angel says, "He is not here, for He is risen, as He said, 'Come, see the place where the Lord lay.'" He invited him to come to the tomb and observe the fact that Jesus was not there. But the angel had another message for them, a command for them. And the command is found in verse 7. He says, "And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you." The angel gave a message of good news. But that message carried some personal responsibility with it as well. And there were some commands along with that good news that I want us to look at this morning. The commands of the resurrection message. Verse 7, first of all, we consider the commands of this good news. Once they had experienced, these women had experienced the resurrection, once they had come and once they had seen, they were commanded to go and tell. You know what that same command is for God's people today? Once you've experienced salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and once you've experienced the power of the gospel to change your life, and there's hope for the soul, you in the resurrection of Christ, we're commanded to go and tell of what the Lord has done. There was a British minister, his name was W.E. Sangster, but he had contracted an incurable disease that slowly caused his muscles to begin to waste away. The disease was so great that it caused his voice to begin to fail and his throat to become unable to swallow. He tried to continue on in ministry right up until the point where his voice had gone and he could barely even hold a pen. And one morning, just weeks before he had died, or he was about to die, he wrote a letter to his daughter, telling of the life that he had lived and final farewells to his daughter. But he said this in his letter to his daughter. He said, "It's a terrible thing to wake up in the morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He's alive. He's risen.' But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout, 'He's alive. He's risen.'" I wonder if the great theme of our Lord's death and resurrection has ceased to touch the hearts of God's people to the point that we have no desire to shout and to tell that He's alive. The Lord is alive today. The commands of the good news, the commands of the resurrection, was first of all a command to depart. In verse 7, the angel said to the women, "Go quickly." Go quickly. This message was an imperative message. It called for action. It called for engagement on their part. The angel said to the ladies to go quickly. And I would make the application this morning, are we living as though our Lord has risen and living within our hearts? Are we sharing the message that He lives with others? You know what? People need hope for their soul. People need hope for their soul. So much of the time, the problem is that we don't see people as souls that are bound for eternity. We go through our lives and we live day to day and we work our jobs and we have our plans and we're making our plans for our summer activities and we're doing all of these things and we go day by day never seeing people as souls that are bound for eternity. But the truth of the matter is your soul, if you're a child of God, your soul has been redeemed. God has changed your life because of this glorious message. You have hope for your soul. But they do not. They need someone to tell them of this glorious news that there's hope for their soul because Jesus Christ is alive. The angel said to go quickly. We're not to linger, but we're to take the good news that Jesus is alive into this world. The message of the resurrection calls us to action. It calls us to engage in the work of the risen Lord. Secondly, there was not only a command to depart, but there was a command to deliver. The angel said to go quickly and tell. Go quickly and tell. The word quickly means without delay. These women were commanded to go with a sense of urgency, spreading the news that Jesus Christ was risen from the grave. But you know, the message of the tomb is still the message of the hour today. Come, see, the Lord's alive. He's not here. But then go quickly and tell. The message that we have been given is an urgent message. Why is it an urgent message? The reason it's an urgent message is because people are dying. It's an urgent message, my friend, because people are dying. Thousands die every day without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's imperative. It's urgent we reach them with the news of the resurrection. It's urgent that they know that Jesus Christ lives so that they can have eternal life and live also. This is a problem for saints of God today, including myself, that we do not live as though the Lord Jesus Christ would come today. We don't live with a sense of urgency that there are souls all around us that are heading out into eternity. We know how we would respond. We know how we would act if the building was on fire today and we had an opportunity to save our brothers and our sisters. We would act with urgency, would we not? Yes, we would. But sadly, there are souls that are dying. Thousands every day going out into eternity. You know, the birth rate on average, they say that there are 128.9 million births every year. Every second of every day, 4 babies are born into this world. Every single one of those babies comes into this world as a lost sinner in need of a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Look at Psalm 58 with me this morning. Psalm 58. Verse 3. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 in verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world," that man was Adam, "and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We come into this world already with a sin nature, already condemned before God. And every second, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, four souls come into this world that are lost in need of a Savior. But you know what the death rate is? Every year, 57.9 million people die in this world. That is two people every second of every day. Two people just died. Two people just died. Two people just died. 110 people die every single minute. 6,619 souls go out into eternity every hour. 158,857 souls perish and go out into eternity every day. They slide off into death. And by the time we're finished here this morning, 4,800 people will die. Most of them, sadly, will perish and go into the flames of hell. The point is that people need to hear the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 10 with me. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 15 says, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" The theme of our missions conference is, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The verse continues, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Look at verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." People need to hear the word of God. People need to hear about their sin and their offense to God, but they need someone to tell them. They need a preacher. That preacher is you. We all have people that we know. Acquaintances. We don't know the hour of their death. We don't know the hour of our death. We don't know the moment we're going to take our last breath. We certainly don't know when theirs will come. The only opportunity that we have to share with them of their need of Christ is now, is today. It's an urgent message. It needs to be today. I've told you this story before of a classmate of mine when I was in college. I was studying construction, learning business. I was 19, 20, or 20 years old probably at the time. Maybe 21, I don't know. But I had a partner who we were working on a project together. And I knew him very well because we worked together every day, and we had a building project that we were to be working on. And I remember coming to class one morning. It was a Thursday morning, and we sat through our lecture, and then we had to go and we had to work on the project. And as we were working together, I just noticed that he was working very frantically. He was like working with urgency. And I asked him. I said, "What's the deal? Why are you working so feverishly on this? This project isn't due, you know, for whatever amount of time." And he said to me these words. He said, "I'm not going to be here tomorrow, so I want to get this done." We went through the day. The day was done. I went home, lived my life. Friday morning, I came back to class, and I walked into the room, and I just see somber faces, and I see even tears in some people's eyes, and I'm like wondering what in the world is going on. And I sit down to have our teacher, professor, say to the class that so-and-so, my partner, died last night in a fire. He had gone hunting with his family in their cabin. That night, their cabin caught on fire. He was trapped. He couldn't get out. and he went out into eternity. I remember thinking to myself, I just talked to him not even 12 hours ago. Just a handful of hours ago, I was with him, communicating, talking to him. Did I share the gospel with him? Did I tell him at all, ever, about his need of salvation? I remember feeling such guilt in my soul. I had a chance to tell him of Christ, and I don't know if I did. Every day people die. Every day people go out into eternity. You don't know the hour of your death. You certainly don't know the hour of those that you know and their death. And it is incumbent upon you and me as children of God to see them as lost souls. To at least share with them the hope for their own soul. People are dying. That's the reason why this message is an urgent message. They need to hear about hope for their soul. They need to hear that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You can have your sins forgiven. You can become a child of God. You're in danger of God's wrath and God's judgment on your sin. That's the message that people need to hear. And they need us to tell them. But secondly, people are deceived. This is another reason why it's an urgent message, because people are deceived. So many are deceived, and so many worship gods that do not exist. And they're blinded in their hearts and in their minds because of by the wicked one. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." In verse 3 he said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost." Why is it hid? Because their minds are blinded because of the God of this world. And the only thing that opens their heart and their mind is the message of the gospel. The only hope they have of hearing the good news for their soul, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is you and me. Look with me over in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8 and verse 24. "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." Here are these who were questioning Jesus, "Who are you?" Jesus says, I'm the one who's from the beginning. And there's many more things, but he says, "I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Acts 4:12 says, "There's salvation in no other than the name of Jesus." And my point is, my friend, is this: people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there is no other hope for their soul. People are deceived. They believe all kinds of things, and they worship gods that don't exist. They put their faith and their trust in something that isn't real, and their minds are blinded to the truth, and what they need to hear is of Jesus Christ. And when they hear about him, listen, we can't convert their soul, but we can preach the message of salvation. And when they hear about him, we can trust that the Spirit of God will do his job, which is to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. We can trust that God is going to draw them to himself, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. every body of every deceased leader of some religion, founder of every other major religion in this world, you know what? They're in a tomb somewhere. But our God, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is alive forevermore. And through Him, there is hope for the soul. We know He lives. And it's our duty to take the gospel to those without the living God. Look in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. People are dying. It's an urgent message. People are deceived, putting their faith in something that isn't real. It's an urgent message. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus, and He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's our duty to take the gospel to those who are without Christ. Thirdly, people are despondent. People are dying. People are deceived. And people are despondent. Our text says that the angel told the women to go quickly and tell His disciples. The disciples were very despondent after the days of Christ, when He had died, when He was in the tomb. They hid, the Bible says that they hid behind locked doors out of fear. And it was imperative that this message be shared with them, that Jesus Christ was truly alive, so that they could be stirred from their despondency. People who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ are despondent too. They have no hope. They need to hear the gospel of salvation through grace and through the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a message that brings hope if it's received by faith. You remember the thief on the cross? The one who reprimanded his fellow criminal? He said, "Don't you realize we're getting what we deserve? Don't you realize that we're hanging here because we deserve to die? But this man hath done nothing amiss." And you remember how he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and he simply said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus gave him hope for his soul right in that moment when he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What a glorious truth that man in his dying moments had hope for his soul. That's what this world needs. The command of the resurrection is to go, to tell. But then secondly and lastly, I want you to see in verses 7 and 8 the confidence. Go back to our text of Matthew 28 and look at verse 7 again. We see the command, but now I want you to see the confidence. "And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see Him. Lo, I have told you." What is the confidence of this good news? Well, the ladies who came to this tomb and heard this angel's message to come and see, but then heard the command to go and tell, also had a wonderful promise given to them that the Lord Himself would go before them and there they would see Him. First of all, we see the confidence of this good news was that the Lord would precede them. The Lord would precede them. The angel said, "He goeth before you." And listen, this is confidence for you and for me who know the Lord. We can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the risen Lord, because He precedes us. Jesus Christ has not commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel on our own charges, of our own account. In fact, later on in this same chapter, Matthew chapter 28, look down to verse Verse 18 and following, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, these are his disciples, his New Testament church, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's the promise. And lo, behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus says, behold me, look at me, I'm with you to the end of the world. We read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall receive power, that's ability. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus Christ goes before us. Jesus Christ guides us. He instructs us through his Spirit. We can do what God has commanded us to do because of his power. He's with us no matter what. Then the angel said to these women that they would see him in our text in verse 8 or verse 7. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. And then verse 8 says, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. The angel said, there shall ye see him. And when they heard these words, the Bible says that they ran to spread the news. It wasn't long until they ran right into him, just as the angel said. But let me say this to you this morning. One day, we're going to see our risen Lord face to face. We need to serve him with gladness and joy today, because we know that one day we're going to see him in glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 12, Paul said this, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Right now, we live in this mortal body. Right now, it's like we can see through a glass darkly. It's like it's faint. It's like we don't get the full clear picture. But one day, we're going to stand before the Lord face to face. And we're going to know him. He says, even as I am known, just like me and Brother Doug standing face to face, I can see him. I see it clearly. I know him. That is how we're going to stand before our Lord face to face. Is that not something that should motivate us, child of God? We serve with joy. We serve with gladness today because we know we're headed somewhere. And when we know that we get there, we're going to see him face to face. I had to serve him for what he's done for me. I had to serve him because of the hope for my soul. I had to serve him because I know that one day I'm going to stand before him. There's a quote that says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. The greatest news, the most exciting news that you and I have ever heard is that God loves me. He loved me so much that he gave his son for me. That my offense to God was so great that God is going to judge my sin. But there's hope for my soul. Because God's love for me is so great that he made a way for me to be forgiven. Instead of being an alien from God, instead of being an enemy of God, I can become a son of God. I can be reconciled to God. I can have a relationship with him. His wrath no longer abides upon me because he poured out his wrath on his own son just for me. That's the greatest news that you and I have ever heard, that Jesus Christ took my place. But then he rose again the third day. And if I would put my faith and trust in him, I could receive the forgiveness of sins and have hope for my soul. It was the greatest news that you've ever heard, but it's also the greatest news that all of those people out there who are souls that are bound for eternity, it's the greatest news they'll ever hear. Why should we be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We shouldn't. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the very thing that has transformed our life and given us sonship with God. If you're saved here this morning, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I living today like I really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Am I living like I really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Number one, how long has it been since you thanked him for your salvation, for the hope for your soul, because he's alive? But then number two, how long has it been since you were so grateful to the Lord that it compelled you to go and tell someone else how they can have the same hope for their soul? These women who came to this tomb, they saw that Christ was alive. They heard the message of the angel to go and tell. They knew that Jesus was alive, that they were going to see him. And all of that, the Bible says that they ran quickly to share this wonderful news. I wonder if we need to be charged again in our soul over the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and people need to hear this good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you challenge us. Lord, we have a wonderful privilege in knowing you as our personal Savior. But we also have a weighty responsibility to then go and tell. Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts even today. As we walk through this life, even today, as we go about our business, when we dismiss from this place, Lord, that we would look and see people as souls that are bound for eternity who need to hear the glorious news that Jesus is alive, that there is hope for their soul. They don't have to experience the judgment and wrath of God in their sin. Father, that you compel us, convict us. And Lord, that we would be committed. Lord, I know that I have not always done what I should. I've not always been a faithful witness. Lord, you know my fears. You know my inadequacies, my shortcomings. Lord, you know all of these things. But I want to be faithful to you. I want to be obedient. I want other people to know you. Help me to love their soul. Lord, I want to be obedient by your grace. Help me. Give me confidence in you. And Lord, I pray that you would bring this kind of heart to your people, and we would continually pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest, but then that we would say, Lord, here am I. Send me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's